Mason, everything's good? Okay.
Just text me if you need.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. At this time, I'm going to call the meeting of Long Barrens Commission to order at 15:09. Can I ask everybody to go ahead and please rise, face the flag, and if you can speak, say pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
What number is it live?
It's live.
What, Rick?
I put it on the Google Facebook.
Okay. Could we do a 10-minute American Legion?
I'm present.
VBA 668.
I don't see it.
Okay, let's go. US Air Force Association.
Google Facebook. You have to press the link.
Military Purple Heart.
Here.
Third Marine Division Association.
Here.
US Navy League, here. Sorry, I'm going to organize.
You see it? Do you see it?
US 6, all present and accounted for. Thank you very much.
VFW?
And HMI?
VFW. VFW and the status on HMI, sir? Is that?
It should be October. It should be in the October.
Yes, it's for VFW.
And is VFW which post?
15:09.
Can you guide the same procedures?
Yeah.
Just so everyone knows. And if there's any new.
Okay, so the way it works according to the chapter 67, I got to receive the request for membership, GOVA, and then I will note whether what actions I deem necessary and then report that to the commission. The commission has to come together as a group to vote whether we want that particular organization to be a member of the commission or not. It's not that clear in chapter 67, but then again, we want to make sure it's not global rules, right? We'll just bring everybody in, okay?
So just to verify, on your notes from last meeting, did the VFW turn in their stuff?
No, I got from HMI. I didn't get VFW.
Which one? Which unit?
VFW. 15:09.
I believe you turned it in.
On the list, 15:09 is good.
Okay.
29:17 is okay.
Okay.
So right now it's 15:09, this paperwork is okay, it's 29:17 is in need of paperwork. And we're looking at HMI for October to be included.
October will be the discussion.
So the discussion has to happen? Because we turn in the paperwork, then you guys have a long agenda, but HMI might have been on this agenda. So shouldn't it be the next meeting, which is today?
Okay, so let's do that for the sake of question. We'll put it on the notes. The agenda for HMI, any organization that needs to be determined to be a member of the organization, we discuss and vote it for the October commission meeting. Is that okay? October.
Okay, but I'm still going to sit here. Is that okay? Because if I'm going to sit here, then I feel like it should be fair that every single person that's sitting here should have a good status, which is registered with Revenue Tax.
If I may. Then work, yes.
Guys, let's stay with the agenda.
Yep.
Okay? Thank you, guys.
You're going to be good friend. Okay, look, everybody's accounted for, that's going to be on the list, whatnot. Okay, kind of the public notice. Go ahead and acknowledge that the publications were put out in, as required by law, September 19th to the 24th of September. Apologize for the delay from the previous week. I understand personally as well that with only one publication on this island, never really heard of it before, where people were turning away advertisements or whatever because they're full or whatever it may be, but I've seen that happen just recently. Next thing we're going to go ahead and review is, I know some of you have the meeting minutes from the previous meeting. Please take a minute or two to go ahead and review it. And number 5, we'll go ahead and approve the meeting minutes. forget to make sure everybody signs in, please.
Chris, one correction. UZAN. That's all. Minor and non, not important, but just for the sign.
Sure it is.
And since, I guess, what we discussed, I'm part of HMI, so is Celinda. So I don't understand how we're just guests and not HMI.
For now, you're a guest.
This was, yeah, this was last month.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm a guest here, yes.
Okay, is there any motion to accept the minutes from? Nine others, second. Motion by Mr. Bazan, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor?
Aye.
Minutes accepted. Okay, next item up is the Office of the Veterans Affairs Director's Report.
The person, and this is folks that are here as a guest. My apology, supposedly from the last commission meeting back in August. I had noted that I will provide a detailed breakdown of the $1.3 million that's been granted for the PA to be able to bring on board 6 permanent veteran service reps and 6 permanent cemetery reps. I was not able to get that data. I will work on getting that data for the October commission meeting. With regards to the 1.3, in addition to that, it's also part of the liaison team that we're trying to put together within HOVA to provide liaison within the HOVA office and the veterans and their family and to different agencies where we need to reach out to get information to the needs of veterans and their families. So I will provide the 1.3 data as accurate as I could on our October meeting. My apologies. The Veterans Convention, guys, I'll tell you, it's a pain in the butt, man. But it's going to happen on the 22nd of November. It's almost like a year and a half trying to get this Veterans Convention off the ground. So now it's taking place on the 22nd of November from 8 to 1500 at Busa County.
Is there 8 to 1500?
To 1500, yes.
Large ballroom?
Large ballroom, yes.
Where again?
Dusitani Hotel, 22nd November. We are having a Veterans Day on the 11th of November, 11 o'clock, and it's going to be down at the Ipao Beach. The flyover has been requested since about 6 months ago by Adeline. Layout appears to be the same as we do every year. In saying that, on the 11th or the 10th, and I'll get back with y'all, 11th or the 10th of October, we are gonna have a meeting with all the members and all those interested to involve with regards to how they wanna see this year's Veterans Day take place. However, we decided to have it down at Ipao based on the last Veterans Day that we had over at the Skinner's Plaza, that it was hot and they preferred to have it down at Ipao. So that's the rationale behind that. Okay. So it's going to happen down at Ipao.
Sir, before we move on, if I may, that's also, is there going to be a committee that's going to be receiving the nominations for Veteran of the Year from different organizations?
Yeah, guys, and And comes on that next meeting, I will start giving you all, or you just sending it out by email for nominations for Veterans of the Year. The norm. I'm gonna send it out to the mayors too, okay? By October, and I get, you know, it's like last minute, and it's not working good for me. I don't like it. A lot of stress. However, I think every commander already has an idea who they want their Veteran of the Year to be.
Okay.
Okay. We'll shoot that out. Tanya, you got that note for me, right? To update. Okay. Thank you. Okay, the Reef Across America Guys is on the 14th of December this year. Whenever there's an activity that has to deal with veterans at a large scale, we will take it on unless there's an organization that comes forward and say it's a private organization, we could run it on our own. But in this matter, because the Reef Across America has been, the organization has acknowledged the Bone Veterans Cemetery to be now kind of a member of the Reef Across America, we are pretty much like mandated that every year we facilitate the program. The way it works, guys, is a family member, friends, or whoever wants to purchase a reef. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Is a word. This is
sponsor.
Sponsor a reef. You go online and purchase it. We do not have a credit card. So the individual or the organization that has credit cards that wants to purchase or sponsor a reef, however amount, you have to go on the website to order it. I will say this, that I will work with the administration to see if they will grant me a credit card for the purpose of the program, so that people could come to us, order it, we'll put their name, how much they purchase, and it goes on the credit card, okay?
So there's a couple organizations, including the Air Force Association, that would like to kind of sponsor and do some fundraising for the elites themselves. Any way to get recognition of that, or at least a method, because I don't know if we're the credit card, but it would be like cash fundraisers.
Yeah, Tanya, you could answer that.
Can I add, because HMI is a sponsor for Reach Across America, the way that it works, the national program, national fundraising effort. So your organization has to be a registered 501c3, and you have to submit all your paperwork to Reach Across America. Tanya assisted us on creating it. It takes less than 5 minutes. So we've already sold half of our goal, HMI has. Also, Barragata's Veteran Association, they've sold. So there are organizations linked to this. So GOVA has to be the Reach Cemetery, because they're already registered. If you go on to Reach Across America, search Guam, their office will come up as well as the December 14th date. And that's been set since January.
Okay. So there's a process online
there's
to
a
register
process.
The organization.
Yes, so we've already been receiving checks from Reach Across America, because what we've been doing is pushing it out to all the veterans that we come across who have loved ones there. So they purchase a wreath for $17, $5 comes to the organization because it's a fundraising effort. So I think what the GOVA offers assistance with is pushing out the information to purchase a wreath for your loved one.
Okay.
Thank you. So I need your help to do that. Pass the word. Okay. Thank you, Jamal. Okay, please do my turn. Hold the morning. Okay, guys, so the GOVA relocation to the Hessler building, which is the old legislature building, is still up in the air. I will tell you that even if the public health moves out of that building by the end of this year, we will not move in until a year later. The reason behind that, we have to do a complete renovation of the area, plus also identify where am I going to get that 500 plus thousand
to rent.
Okay, just to let you know. But we're pushing on it, we're working on it, be patient for, just help me out. You know, if you have some good skills out there, good ideas, you know, let's bring it out. But right now, the government had offered us the Hessler building, and we're gonna keep their words to it. Okay, but the thing is, public health has to find themselves a home, and I'm understanding they are not just submitting a request for proposal for different locations or a location to relocate their personnel out of Hessler. The cemetery renovation is ongoing, guys. The chapel is pretty much close to done. The renovation, again, comprised of the chapel, the main admin building, and the maintenance building, and the deadline for them to finish that project is March of 2025. My understanding is they do have all the material on island already shipped in for them to move forward with the project. So just to let you all know, as soon as the chapel is done, I'm gonna move a partial office into that chapel, right recently behind that. There's a lot of visitors coming down there looking, seeking for help, seeking where their loved ones are at, and other administrative stuff that we have now just kind of adapted, and they got used to coming down there for help, which is a good thing. Our personnel status, we got 4 permanent VSRs. We have 1 additional, which is Mr. Menno, VSR, which is a total of 5 over at the Bond Veterans Affairs Office, and 1 permanent cemetery worker. Last month, 3 employees from the cemetery resigned. They relocated, they decided to take a job over at Our Lady of Peace for a better paying job. Those individuals were LTA, so for those of you all that got wind of that, the situation that happened was one guy was offered a deputy's job at a better pay scale, and the other guy said, hey, I'd like to go with you, and so they went. So because they're on class, guys, listen, I don't want to stop them. If it's something to better their lives, go for it. So now we're operating off the 1 permanent personnel and 6 folks from the Department of Labor, and they're doing a good job at what they do. Okay. The ground equipment, I got no problem with ground equipment. I can tell you that with the renovation, I'm looking at expediting to secure the fence line down by the maintenance building so I could relocate some of the equipment and store it outside within the hardened fence line. Reason for that, GSA, I was told to seek help at GSA if I could store some of the stuff down there. You don't want to store stuff down there. When I went in there, I got lost, and I can imagine what would happen to my equipment. So just to let you all know, but before that happens, as we harden the top and the sides with heavy-duty cyclone, I do have cameras that we're gonna install also, okay? We're good on ground equipment, guys. The cemetery expansion project, and I thank you to our good old senator here, guys. The cemetery expansion project went from $8.2 to $14 million, and I'm expecting that award to come out anytime October from the National Cemetery Administration. The reason that went up was my meeting in August or July in Indiana. I was able to convince the Navy Cemetery Administrators, the people that fund the grant, to allow us more funding so that I could remove that hill in the middle that's doing nothing and be able to build more crypts there. The reason it was 8.2 back then was what they're used to is the culture of Guam. We dig the hole and we bury down. And that was the perception that we're getting was the space that we had available was what we were gonna use to build crypts on. So when you build crypts on, and I can tell you that the one area that's very active right now, where we're burying down by Route 1 and down by the flagpole, that's the only area that's available now for first-time burial. First-time burial. We have a total of 801 burial sites there. We've used so far 274 around there. That means we still have about 6 years life. However, just for your knowledge, the purpose of the increase was if we build up instead of down, we're able to go and bury 2 to 4 to 5 up. But going down, you're only able to bury 2 at the most. And so the other convincing is, allow me to do this, to just disturb the cemetery one time and don't have to come back another 10 years from now to disturb it, to build more. Do it now so that it's gonna last us for the next 50 years. That's the plan. And I did invite our good old Senator Ada to come on by and I'll be more than happy to show, but within that footprint, we're able to build enough crypts to last for another 50 years. The one thing I wanna just share with you all, and this is nothing but me bragging my knowledge or whatnot. Those crypts down there that are known as crypts, right? Not the ground burials. If you look at the crypts, a lot of the face is cracking, right? Because this is warm. When the rebars in there start to rust, they start to crack and break. So now I got two guys down there that are their main project is to correct that and make it more solid so that it looks like a shrine. Okay? So that's what's happening.
How old is it?
So that cemetery was built in 54 was the first burial, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I mean yours.
Looking pretty old. I think about over 50. Over 50. Because they went from ground burials to crypts and not to column burials. We have column burials. But the problem we have on Guam again is the material that they use and the weather in the salt water. So, and just to let y'all know, now, again, when they do come out here, those are going to be issues that's going to be brought up because Camp Lost is seeing the same thing. They're starting to see their building cracking because they use the material that is not suitable for our island. But I'll get back with you, but I think it's more than 50 years for the crypts.
Mr. Chairman, can I?
Yes, sir.
I know I'm not, but I just wanted, I came because I saw the on the agenda about the cemetery extension project. And I think the last time that there was any kind of expansion or capital improvement project on the cemetery is when John Pinkel was there. And for the longest time there, the cemetery, Gova, had actually the National Association for Cemeteries had money available, but Guam had to provide matching funds. And it took a while to get the matching funds. So it's great to hear that we've got possibly $14 million on the table that may be available to us. But the, you know, it's important to know, is there gonna be a matching grant requirement to be able to access that grant? And if there is, we need to start putting that request in through the legislature. The second thing was I believe the National Cemetery Administration required that to undertake the expansion project, you have to have an approved capital improvement plan. And that capital improvement plan actually went through the legislature and that's where it got approved. That's the stamp of approval that the National Cemetery Administration. I asked the question, is there gonna be a matching grant requirement? Is there gonna be that requirement to have a capital improvement plan? And secondly, for $14 million, that's quite a bit of expansion that you can do. Now back in, I believe it was 2015, there was actually a resolution, and I provided you a copy there, Mr. Director. On the desk, resolution 83, which was sent to at the time Delegate Madeline Bordalio to request or to put in legislation to be for the Navy to quit claim or to give us I think it was like a total of 2 acres just south of the legislature for expansion purposes. Now I know you indicated that's what we call in Guam the Milat area, right? The water runs through there, but you know, today, engineering solutions to problems like that are certainly there. But the other important part about trying to get that moving on, trying to get that piece of the land is we certainly don't want the Navy building a fuel storage tank right next to the cemetery. So if nothing else, it's gonna provide us that buffer for the cemetery. Now, that was put in 2015. I put a call in to the Director of Land Management to confirm if there was any movement on that, and apparently it kind of like died when it went out the door of the legislature. So, but the important thing about that resolution is it's got all the data that we need as to, you know, the boundaries of what piece of property we're looking at. So I would ask the commission to get on top of that, to get that resolution resurrected. And you know, now's the perfect time, right, for a new delegate to get their feet wet. So I just I just ask that those particular points be considered.
Okay, just stay the course, yeah.
Okay, sir, appreciate it, sir.
Sure,
I have one quick question for the senator. Many grants for Guam, where typically they require matching, it's waived for Guam. I've dealt in many grants where this has happened, with grants I participated in. Is there a chance we could qualify for a waiver on the matching grant since it's a territory?
That I don't know. I mean, that's probably a question you ask the delegate's office.
To answer your question on the matching grant, the only matching grant that the National Cemetery Administration have requested from us is the $1.3 million, which was for architecture and engineering. That's the only matching grant they requested, and we did provide them that information.
But has Guam come up with that money to do the A&E?
Yes, sir.
To do the A&E and then to get the capital improvement plan approved by the legislature.
Yeah. So the only way that the cemetery administration can approve that we're going to get the grant is for us to be able to provide them that matching fund, and we did provide the matching fund. We did provide.
I've scoured through the books on public laws. I haven't seen a $1.3 million appropriation for A&E work. The only $1.3 million that I've seen was to hire the 6 DSOs and 6 cemetery workers and other operational to fund other operational costs.
Okay, so let me do it this way. So, Senator, probably the reason why you haven't seen it is the matching fund has been provided to the National Cemetery Administration. The funding or any type of funding cannot be expended ahead of time until the Cemetery Administration says execute the project.
Sir, but the legislature is the one that appropriates the funds. And I'm saying there is no legislation that has appropriated $1.3 million for that A&E work that's required to be able to access.
Okay, so it's coming from the DMR. I'll be more than happy to share with you that document.
Well, and I will assure you that I've spent this whole week scouring through all the public laws, looking for everything that had to say veterans in it. I hadn't seen that.
Okay. Thank you. We'll move on. I'm still my report. I'm sorry. So the NAP funds, there's two. One, which is the cemetery funds. If I'm not mistaken, the balance in there says $60,000, if I'm not mistaken. Just to let you all know, I used that funds quite extensively, again, for many improvements down at the cemetery. More so because we have a lot of volunteers coming around. I use it a lot for paint materials and any type of items that we need to fix many of the damaged things that are happening down at the cemetery. Every Saturday, all the way to the 10th of December, I think, we have volunteers from the Red Cross. A lot of these volunteers are coming from the active duty, but we're receiving some volunteers also from the civilian community that's involved with the Red Cross. So around 15, 30 people do show up to volunteer. Many of the projects that they do is painting and scraping of those old crypts that I've just described to you. In addition to that, we have a total of 12, between 10 to 12 volunteers from the Navy itself. These folks apparently has been approved by their command to, on weekdays, if they're not doing anything at work, commit to helping the cemetery. And these are Navy folks from Naval Station 1. That's all my reports here.
Okay, thank you very much.
Just I had a quick question. I might have misheard you, Joe, but you said there's two NAP funds.
What was
yeah.
The
The other one is the Veterans Affairs funds, which is the office fund. On there, there's like 2,500 folks around there.
Okay, the next item is item number 8, which is a review of a draft letter. In the last meeting, we had discussed the Government Accountability Office report that came out in May of this year. I think some of you have read it front to back and stuff like that. Basically, in a nutshell, what the Government Accountability Office verified for us through the VA's own words is they haven't been counting the total number of veterans in Guam. This is a report from GAO, and basically the model that they've been using is just estimating based on the size of the community. And their estimating tools indicated that Guam only had 7/8,000 total veterans here on the island of Guam, which I believe, in my opinion, directly relates to the budget that's afforded to the VA Pacific Islands healthcare system and to all the other benefits that we could potentially be receiving out here in Guam. I understand in the last few years, the Guam Office of Veterans Affairs has conducted its own surveys. They have their own documentation that lists the total number of veterans on this island anywhere between 20 and 24,000 veterans. That being said, for many years, for many decades now, based on the estimates from the VA, we've been shortchanged and only been afforded 33% of the budget that could potentially be afforded to us and our veterans out here in Guam. I passed on a draft. I apologize, I didn't make enough copies to go around, but basically what I'm asking for the members, and this will include the new ones potentially by the next meeting, is take a look at it. There are certain, not necessarily demands, but there are certain things that I'd like the Secretary of the VA to acknowledge and move forward with our requests. Basically, it's, number one, accept the Guam Office of Veterans Affairs total number, or actually conduct an actual count of total veterans here on the island of Guam. This way, an accurate count will be reflected in all systems. This does not only affect veterans and funding, but this could also affect other avenues or other funding here on the island of Guam, public health, security, you name it, across the board. By identifying the true number of veterans, it could increase grant funding for agencies like Guam Behavioral Health, Department of Public Health, and so on and so forth. Obviously, the request there is a budget adjustment to reflect the according total number of veterans on the island of Guam, and then of course the improvement of services. Many of us have been flown to Hawaii in some instances for a 5-minute appointment. There are also some of us that avoid flying to Hawaii because of the lengthy time of stay or the lengthy flights. Some of us don't have the health that we need to endure an 8-hour flight out there, sit around for a day or two and then get on a plane and come right back. Of course, in the end, this is going to help towards us requesting for additional medical expertise on Guam. For many years, most of us have been asking the VA, what has been your budget for veterans being flown to and from Guam to Hawaii or the US? And for whatever reason, that number's been kept from us. A year ago or so, I found out that at least in the first 10 months of 2022, the VA had spent almost $4 million just flying us to and from Hawaii. Realistically, that could be money that is spent for specialists to be stationed here in Guam, dealing 100% with just veterans. They don't have to have a private clinic. We could have our cardiologists, we could have our urologists, pulmonologists. All these experts could be basically based here on the island of Guam, so we don't have to do all this extensive traveling. The other option that I'd like, and I didn't include this in here, was during COVID, our brothers and sisters, fellow veterans from the FAS in Palau, because of the travel restrictions, their medical care was transferred from Guam over to the Philippines. Some of us and some of the veterans that I've been talking to have taken advantage of that, changing however they're doing it, but they're changing their preference or their medical treatments so that they could go seek help and treatment in the Philippines. Long story short, we just need the VA, the Secretary of the VA, and everybody up and down that chain to recognize the actual number of veterans in Guam and adjust accordingly. That's changing the budget, bringing more services to the island of Guam. And this is just a draft letter that I put together. I'll put it in the chat, I'll put it in the emails. If your organization, and there are big ones, right, the VFW, you have a large lobbying organization in Congress and in DC. If we can get those large organizations like American Legion, VFW, MOPH, VVA, everyone who has a national representative, if you can reach out to your president and say, hey, look, here's the plight of our veterans here on the island of Guam. This is what we're asking for. It'll help us in our fight with the Secretary of the VA to say, hey, look, enough is enough. Stop treating us like, you know, because we're so far out of sight, they'll just give us the chump change. I know that there's people going up for congressional seats. It could be an incumbent, it could be someone new, but this is an opportunity for us as a stronger voice as veterans to be able to say, hey, look, you know, this is who we are. We need to be, you know, we need to stand up and be recognized, be counted. And you know, again, this is for your review. Take the draft letters. I'll share it with everyone. Add to, strike out, whatever it is that you feel will make a stronger position. I think we can get all of our letters combined together and create a great presentation. Even if it's, we'd be lucky if VFW or American Legion, whoever has the lobbyists out in D.C., could represent us. Maybe one or two of us who can afford to go out there at some point. Make sure we have this, you know, directly to the Secretary of the VA and whoever, even higher, if possible. So this is, that report is directly related not only to us, but if we're familiar with any veterans organizations out in Saipan, the NMI as well, let's get them on the bandwagon as well and see if we can submit a letter coming from all of our organizations presented. And we can, the easiest document to cite is that GAO report. That's basically the only one that we need to submit. Yes, sir.
Can we look at making Guam a center for Micronesia as rather than being a stepchild to Hawaii? I know Hawaii will scream because it will take money.
Budget, to correct.
But
I totally love the idea. I'd love to see it. I mean, Guam. If we're looking at the total number of veterans in Guam at about 24,000, the number of veterans in Hawaii is about 60,000 to 62,000 right there. So we're already at 1/3. And our population is not even 10% of what Hawaii has.
But if you include Saipan and if you include the Federated States of Micronesia, you get a pretty good picture.
We'll probably be closer to 32,000 to 34,000, possibly if you include Saipan and those. I love the idea. I absolutely love it. I think the letter is the first step. You know, and perhaps one of it is come out here and meet with us, enough with the dog and pony show, meet with all of us. You know, the veterans that choose to make Guam our home and say, look, what is your solution? And we're done with the once a quarter or once every 6 months, they send the team out from Hawaii for 3 days and then check your blood pressure. Okay, good, see you in 6 months. It's not gonna bode well. We have probably 15 to 20,000 more individuals that will be retiring or getting out of the service that served through OIF, OEF, right? I know I have challenges, Roro's had challenges with reaching out to these OIF, OEF veterans. A lot of them are of the mindset, I'm good. Gentlemen in the Vietnam era, and since then, a lot of you guys knew a lot of your friends who avoided the VA system because it was just a nightmare in the past. Well, I completely agree with Lee. If we had it here, we could walk in the door. We've experienced it ourselves. Walk into Hawaii and you need something, that same day, you probably got service. You got your knee braces, you got your back support. Now that we come over to the CBOC, and it's a whole year before you even see anything. So I agree with Lee. I knew this whole discussion was going to piss off Hawaii. But I hate to say it, they've done this to themselves. Right? Hoarding that money, controlling it, it's an insidious thing, but it's, I'm going to pay my Hawaii brethren and the clinics out in town before I release this funding to Guam. So I completely get it. I'd love to be detached from Hawaii altogether and make Guam be the hub. I'd rather have a center and larger everything than in the Philippines. You know, they're not even a U.S. territory, yet they have more services than what's available here. So, yes, sir.
The Philippine Center was set up for a good reason at the right time. But most of those people for whom it was set up
have passed on. Correct. Mm-hmm.
And it's time that they realign the education system for the veterans in Guam, Saipan, and Micronesia from the CNMI, the DFSN, and in Palau. I mean, it's just the right thing to do. Yeah, it'll ruffle some feathers, but they'll heal.
Understood. I appreciated this. Like I said, the letter that I put out was just a draft. If we want to put more of those demands, like thank you, Lee, for coming up with that great idea. Next meeting, I'd love to see what that looks like with the centers and everything like that.
May I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Mike Parra is 100% disabled, and he is Guamanian Chamorro. I have to live in the state of Washington. He's supposed to get the VA care. Yes. Do we have any idea? He's got not obviously the only one with this problem. How big is the population of people because of the lack of care have had to leave our island?
I think everybody in this room knows at least one person who's had to relocate to the States just for medical care. I think, at least right now, I completely understand. I had a gentleman who was living in Washington, had no problems with medical care, came to Guam, and he's just been using four-letter words every single day because of the lack of care. Now he's too sick to be able to travel back to Washington. It's going to cost way too much to get that entire wing, whatever it may be. But that's possibly a survey that we can do ourselves, maybe do a call out to the number of veterans that have relocated. We all know they're in Washington, Vegas, Texas. I know of at least a couple of individuals that stay within 10 minutes of a hospital, a VA hospital. I've passed by Denver VA and Houston VA, and I remember it was right along the freeway, and that building was almost two blocks long. I mean, it was just nuts. I'm like, okay, this is the VA building, and I'm still driving, looking at, there's another sign on another building, it's another VA building. I mean, that was a huge campus. I mean, that's probably in the hundreds of millions of dollars, if anything, yet we're here getting chump change. So, you know, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, that we've been attending, most of us have come to VA, the Veterans Commission meetings for well over 10 years or whatever it may be. Lee was probably here when it was enacted into law. But I think this is something we can uniformly get behind, make adjustments, add whatever you want to feel like you need to add to the letter. I mean, trash my letter, come up with something completely new. But I think this is something we can get behind. We'll get some media coverage if we need to. We'll put a call out to our brothers and sisters that have had to relocate, possibly get them to do some interviews, short 2 to 5 minute interviews, saying, hey, this is the truth. I've had to move in with my son or my daughter or my niece or my nephew just to get the medical treatment that they need. So I appreciate it. I'll share with everybody the draft that I have. I'd love to hear from the national organizations to see if you could all reach out to your presidents, possibly, and say, hey, look, here's the gist of what's going on. Well, we intend to reach out to the secretary of the VA to say, for all, excuse the language, stop fucking around and pay us our dues. We've done more than our fair share of losing our brothers and our sisters. We've done more than our fair share of taking rounds, getting wounded, and all that stuff. If not for us, then at least for the next generation, so that they don't have to struggle like we all end up having to do for many of us and for many, many years. So that's it. I appreciate you all taking a look at that time. I will share it in the chat. I will share it in whatever emails, the draft. And like I said, if there's something missing, please, let's just add it on to there. We don't necessarily have to bash what's going on. They've been just giving us Band-Aids and Band-Aids and Band-Aids. Now it's time for us to push for that new fix, a permanent fix.
I would suggest once we get this finalized in its final form,
yes.
What I recommend is we also get letters of support from all the organizations here, the public and private,
yes.
Even Chamber, for example, mm-hmm. and others. It's nice to send this with our secretaries and maybe something from some nationals, but if you have this with a dozen different letters from different organizations as part of the package,
of course.
I think it's crazy.
I think that would be great. There are people that are not in this room as well, national members, national alliances, and all that stuff. That would be absolutely great. We definitely need to do that. And of course, you can see I CC'd the chair for the Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs, the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, and as well as the Comptroller General of the United States, the USGAO, so that they know that we're actually taking an action as the Veterans Commission. Based on that report. Basically, it's a kudos to them for doing this work.
One more question related to what you're talking about. Guam being an insular territory, we also have a very strong advocate in the interior. And I know they're not VA, but the number of veterans here, you just said around 24,000, that's about a sixth of the population of here. Mm-hmm. And we also get Interior to advocate on our behalf to VA because of the number, because that's another executive grant. And I think if we line up our, we don't need to just fire sharpshoot. I'd like to do a barrage.
Sure.
And hit them broadside.
I definitely agree. There's a few people I know at the Department of Interior that we can address. And that's also open. If we can share this with anybody and everybody, the Associated Press, the whole nine, when they say give them the whole nine yards, let's do it. Let's reach out to anyone and everyone. But this way, at least the document, like you said, in its final form, we can all stand behind it. We can all cite with our organizations. This is what we're fighting for.
And Interior has the oversight of CNMI and all of
the
related territories. And there's veterans all over, so it would be in their interest to try to take care of the veterans in the area they have oversight, I believe.
Yes, so roughly about six to eight months ago or whatever, I did have a brief meeting with a veteran in Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, CNMI, and all that stuff. And in the total number, when we just did a rough estimate, there's about 125 to 135,000 veterans total, not including Hawaii, but 125,000, 130,000 is what we shared between the VI. Puerto Rico only had about 80,000, even though they had like 3.6 mil, they had about 80,000 veterans. And I threw the idea out there that we needed to create some type of a large, you know, territorial veterans association that includes not just Guam, but now Puerto Rico and everyone else. So I understand that that GAO report also included Puerto Rico and the other territories. So while this is simultaneously going on, I'll reach out to those individuals that I had a meeting with and propose this to see if they can get their veterans organizations in their territories to also stand up and present this. I know it's short time frame, but perhaps maybe on Veterans Day itself is a goal that we can shoot to come up with a final letter and say, you know, enough is enough. Perhaps whoever the keynote speaker is at Veterans Day this year gets a copy of our letter and our demands to the Secretary of the VA and possibly get some coverage in that fashion. Okay. Thank you very much for that. And I know, moving on, unless there's any other discussion on that notion, one of the things that we wanted to discuss, or we talked about last month, was of course, what is the mission and what is the purpose of the Veterans Commission? In my time in the last 10, 15 years or so, seeing what the Veterans Commission was to where it is today, drastic improvements. We're meeting quorum, people are showing up, there's a lot more interest in the community. I've said this in the past where a lot of political officials don't pay attention to the veterans because in their minds, we're busy arguing amongst ourselves. Enough is enough. At least here, moving forward, you know, what happens in this room, whatever we discuss in this room, as long as we identify, you know, some key goals, key objectives, every year, perhaps as an organization or as a group, as a commission, you know, we can let it be known, this is what we expect, this is what we're looking for, this is not necessarily our demands, but this is the level of respect that we wish to be receiving because of all the sacrifices that we've done. I'm away from family, wounds, injuries, loss of loved ones, you name it. We're in a lot better place than what it was, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago, where I think Rover and I would be standing outside and there would be no quorum. Just took off work, come over, and we're looking around, who's at the meeting? I agree, everybody's gone. So it's great to see everything moving forward. I think with a mission, it doesn't have to be, or a mission or a vision or a goal, it doesn't have to be anything drastic. And I think Lee is very good at putting, you know, missions and visions together. He's been, I think he's read a few newspapers where there's a couple of great headlines, and he's great at doing that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, overall, it's for the betterment of the veterans, period. Anything and everything that is going to help our veterans in one way, shape, or form, it's, I mean, that's totally open for us to come up with a simple motto or something like that that we can all get behind and say, okay, this is in line with what we're trying to accomplish, and that's working with everybody here. About a year ago or so, we were all sharing, and we'll do that this meeting. We'll go around. Each organization was sharing what they were doing. I understand there were steak nights that were being conducted. There were car washes that were being conducted and stuff like that. On the next meeting, I'll leave that mission and vision, and perhaps I'll come back in. And if you have some ideas, maybe bring some of that to the table and we'll discuss it at that point. Let's see. All right, let me get my eyes. We're moving now to open discussion, and I'd love to talk to start with, before we get to the bullet points, go ahead and open it up just briefly to each organization. If you have events coming up in the next 30 days, you know, share it, put it on the table. That way we all know, and then if there's ways that we can all support each other, then we can proceed to go ahead and do that. Ms. American Legion?
Yeah, we got a couple things going on. One, we're supposed to take dates.
It's okay, we still need it for the line.
$25, town will grow your steak, please don't overdress.
Second of the month, that's on, okay, every second Saturday?
Every second Saturday.
Every second Saturday of the month is steak day.
Okay. We also have a golf tournament coming up on October 14th. They say to raise funds for our community efforts, try to do more outreach going forward in the future. That'll be at first on October 14th, which is Columbus Day. It's on a Monday.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to raise money?
Sir?
October 14th.
October 14th.
Where at?
Finest stuff. Finest?
Oh, Finest Golf Course.
Stars. Stars. All-Star Golf Course.
Joe Stars, okay.
Stars Golf Course. So,
reach out to Chris.
Play, please get a hold of me. I'll put out some more information on our chat.
You can share. Okay, see Chris.
That's the only big thing we got.
Okay, VBA 668.
Okay, we just recently had our fundraiser exercise night.
Okay.
And it wasn't I would say a total success, but at least, you know, it was
to start.
We had people there, unlike the other one that we had back 3 months ago, where it was shoulder to shoulder inside the door.
Okay.
We have an upcoming party that we're setting up on Veterans Day. So we're going to be doing that in, for a late afternoon barbecue there at the compound in Milo.
Okay.
So start time around 4:00. And I think that's basically what we have planned for the rest of the year.
Okay, at least until the next meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, appreciate it. Barbecue on Veterans Day in the afternoon. If you're not too busy or you want to
come. Sunday, Sunday before Veterans Day.
Say it?
Sunday.
Oh, it's a Sunday before Veterans Day?
Yeah.
Okay, so Sunday before Veterans Day.
Yeah, we're making it November 10th. So we don't infringe on the actual day with the folks participating.
On Veterans Day itself?
Yeah, state run.
Okay, no problem. Appreciate that. U.S. Air Force Association. What's that?
Nothing significant, but I just got a comment. This is, and I love the fact that we're sharing, you know, what an organization is doing, but that sometimes doesn't get very far beyond this room.
Understood.
And my thought is, if, and I don't know if we have one, a Veterans Commission website, or a link to a Veterans Commission website that's under the VA, something like that, where we can put all the events, all the happenings, pretty much everything in one place, so everybody can just see what's happening any given month, and like a calendar of events, you know, and organizations can put in there.
Okay. I don't know how easy or difficult or whatever it may be to build a website, but some of us have Facebook or whatever, stuff like that. Perhaps we could start with something as simple as that, some social media sharing and stuff like that. Okay, so website/social media just to share, just to remind everybody, keep everybody mindful of what's going on with each other's organizations. That's it? Okay. MOPH, Mr. Nick?
Well, we're coming to the end of the year, so we have a few projects on the calendar. The first meeting first Friday, at the Copan, we'll be nominating the veteran of the year. And the only question there I have, do we include the auxiliary
for the veteran of the year?
Yeah, we're doing this to the veterans for the year, but the auxiliary, do we include the auxiliary for the year?
No, sir.
No?
The argument a year ago was it's a veteran of the year recognition. Why are we including the auxiliary? So we voted not to include
it. No, I don't want to get mixed up.
So we're not
okay,
sure.
So this coming in October, Friday meeting, first Friday, we're going to be nominating the veteran of the year. Veteran of the year. And Sunday, our veteran day, November 11th, we all plan to be down in Nepal. And after the ceremony, Veterans Day, we always have a gathering at one of the hotels for lunch. Right after the ceremony. And December, we'll be celebrating Christmas, get together, our last project, and followed by Rape Across America at the monument. So that will close out our last project there for the Rape Across America monument, right after the Christmas party.
Okay, sir, appreciate that very much. Third Marine Division.
The association is meeting tomorrow, PVA 668, at 11 o'clock. We're going to discuss whether we want to do a Marine Corps ball down at the Hassan Park. The proposal that people were bringing up was to have it around 3 o'clock. But the discussion will find out tomorrow whether the members want to do that or not. Reason for that, you know, it's the 80th year. However, it's been not a good luck for many of our Marines this year. Many of, not many, but we've lost some family members, and we've lost some larger numbers of Marines than we normally anticipate. So
okay.
That's a reason for that. Thank you.
Okay, sir, appreciate it. So you're meeting tomorrow, 11 a.m. at VBA 668 location in Manila to discuss the potential of a Marine Corps birthday ball.
For the 11th. I mean, 10th.
The 10th. So that'll be around the same time?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Understood. Just keep us posted on the chat.
Okay.
Lee, Navy Lee.
We readjusted the golf tournament to November 15th, and we're up to our eyeballs in the 249th birthday for the Navy, which is scheduled after the 14th. I gotta look at it.
The golf camp.
Yeah, it's hold on 1 second, I can tell you. Thank you. It's 12th.
October 12th golf tournament?
No. November 15th
golf tournament.
November and October 12th is the 249th birthday for the Navy. The birthday ball.
Thank you very much, sir. Embargada Veterans Organization.
Right, no, we don't have anything bad for that. You know, every time we set up the meeting, the backroom or it's gonna maybe after next month we'll have something planned.
Okay, appreciate that. VFW 1509.
We have our state days every second Saturday of the month again. Well, we also have this Saturday burgers, smash burgers. Love it to be something different. If you want to do that. And then we're also showing the football games on Monday and Tuesday up at the V. The VFW is also participating in the Wounded Warriors ride. It's coming up November 11th as well. We're selling shirts. So what they're doing is any organization that would like to sell shirts, you directly benefit from that. You guys, whatever money you raise, how many of your shirts you sell, that money goes back to you guys. So if you guys want to get involved with that, just get a hold of me and I can link you up with the people that we can get you solicitation letters, we can get you the flyers, so that way you can send it out to your members, and it, again, if they buy, the more shirts that you sell, the more money you get back. And that's for, again, Veterans Day. So the more participation you guys put into it, the more you'll get out of it.
If you have a motorcycle, link up with Roro, they'll be right in the morning, and you can ride down to Ipa Beach.
Yes. The Veterans Day will also be where the VFW will start the Veterans Day ride, and then it'll also end there as well. Refreshments and stuff will be provided that day as well. I want to say there was something else. They also hosted that guy, Rocky
Sigmund.
Unfortunately, he was only there for like 30 minutes, but he had other things he had to do. So, but it was nice to, for the few people that was there and the few people that got to see him, they said it was good to talk to him. It was very cool. So, that's all I got.
Okay, other organizations, HMR, real quick. And then, who else?
Okay. Don't forget 2917.
2917 is here as well.
Okay, so we just wrapped up our Benefits Bootcamp 33 in Dededo. We had 66 the first night, 62 the second night, and 66 the third night. A lot of veterans were empowered to own their own claim. And then HMI.
What was the numbers?
66,
62,
62,
and
66.
Nice, thank you.
Yes, and we fed them and gave them drinks every single day for free. And then we're bringing up Rocky Sigmund. So Ambrose chose HMI as the nonprofit organization for their 75th anniversary. So they held a fishing derby. It got rescheduled to this weekend, so it'll be tomorrow. So if you have a veteran on board, it's only $75. But normal registration is 150. Then Rocky Sippin came out. He got to visit the Anderson Fire Station, Navy Fire Station, VFW, American Legion. He got to go to other Ambrose hosted events, and he was here on Island to present a check to the fallen. And so there was two events for that. They also threw a free Capenna concert where he presented the check in public. And then, the HMI is holding the Year of the Veteran Golf Tournament on October 5th. There's still time to register if you'd like to. Then Benefits Bootcamp 34 is October 7th, 8th, and 9th. If any of the organizations want to come and push membership, please do. You're welcome to. Also, November 2nd is HMI's third annual 5K. And then I also have on here, because you know we also track other organizations, the MOPH, do you guys still have the monument cleanup on November 8th? Yes, okay, I have that listed here. And then HMI's second annual Veterans Gala is November 10th. It sold out last year. This year it's at Ducent. Then November 11th is Veterans Day. And then you guys still have your Veterans Day luncheon. I still have that here. Yes, okay. And then Wounded Warrior Ride, November 11th. And the deadline to purchase shirts is October 27th. They're $30, and you can see me, Roro, I think Roy, and then American Legion as well, Chris. And then Reads Across America, deadline to purchase on November 29th. Sir, do you already have all your reads for the monument?
We're just focusing on our own reads because we had our monument. Okay.
And then the read thing, you guys have December 16th. I think I have the MOPH December 16th. Or was that supposed to be December 14th?
I don't remember the date.
Okay. And then we have here second week Saturday State Day American Legion, and then we have two veteran radio shows. So we have the Vet Talk Wednesdays on 10.5 The Wave to start at 6:30, and then Monday nights Veterans with Benefits is me and Anthony. That's starting at 6 p.m. on 93.3 The Point. And then also December 10, 11, 12 is our last boot camp in Yamatic. I think that's all.
You missed it.
Oh, what did I miss? Oh, and then there's going to be a veteran all-hands delegate briefing. So this is for Congressman Moylan and the Congressional Delegate Ginger Cruz, taking place on October 14th.
Micronesia Mall.
It's going to be a town hall type format.
And it will be part of the October Radio 14th. Monday radio show. It's on Columbus Day. that'll be part of that.
October 14th, 6:30, where?
At Micronesia Mall. I'm supposed to pick out a room tomorrow.
Okay, perfect.
And it's not fully a debate, it's a forum where we're going to be asking them each to address how they're going to address various veterans' concerns and affairs. So it's focused solely
on veterans.
On veterans.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks.
14, we need participation.
October 14th.
So it's a veterans' forum.
Well, we're calling it, trying to use a little bit of a military terminology, Veterans All Hands Delegate Briefing. Give it a little bit of a military spin. What?
Ginger and
Doug.
Oh, yeah.
Not Don, sorry, Ginger and Jimmy. Yeah, both of them together, and they'll be, you know, going back and forth, and the rules are going to be out for the thing in the next. I've been off island for the last 2 weeks, but much has been taking place, and I've got the rules and some things going forward, and we're going to finalize the moderator by this weekend. We've got some choices, and we'll move forward.
So it was a debate.
Is it like a little less hostile? I would think more. Forum is just.
It either is or it isn't.
Okay.
Okay, that's great. Mr. Van Venzie, did you want to share anything with your warm letters?
The big project that I have going for my organization is to raffle a pickup truck this coming December. December 15th is the drawing. We have tickets being sold now. They're $25 per ticket, and we will continue to sell tickets until the last day of possibly November.
Do you have tickets now, sir?
We have tickets over there.
Okay. Before everybody leaves, everybody get a ticket for Mr. Benvenuti. Or two. Okay, anything else, sir? Oh, your brick?
Second.
Your memorial? This is all going towards your memorial, correct?
Well, the memorial brick is a separate unit.
Okay. But the fundraiser for the pickup is...
We also have a brick program, honoring a veteran, and that is $600 per brick.
Okay.
And the brick will be in conjunction with the memorial monument.
Okay. So in a gist, the Independent Vietnam Vets Association is hosting a truck raffle, $25 a ticket. That fundraising effort is to help offset the cost of a memorial that is planned for Skinner Plaza as well. The brick project that he's talking about is for you to be able to sponsor a brick similar to the memorial that's down there for the Gold Star family members, similar to the way they did that. Mr. Benedetti has a couple of rough draft on the designs. So there's two ways to be able to help support their organization in that fashion. Anybody else in the room? Mr. Adams, I will have a problem. Mr. Adams, yes, Senator. sorry, Senator. Senator Tom.
Just a couple of things. First of all, on the issue of the cemetery expansion, I'm very much concerned about that because, you know, back in 2015, resolution 83-33 was passed by the legislature, and that has a lot of good data in it. An important piece of data there is that back then, in 2015, they had, at the time, it was John Finkel, they had figured out that the average annual burial rate was about 100 burials a year. That was back in 2015. And they calculated that the capacity down at the cemetery is expected to be filled by 2030. That's 6 years from now. And you see how Silent Sancho has taken over a decade just to build that, right? So, you know, we should have started on this expansion project yesterday.
Since 2015.
So I asked the commission to really ride herd on this particular issue because I think that that there's gonna be a requirement for Guam to come up with a matching grant. That's gonna have to go through the legislature, and that's not an easy task. There's a requirement to get out the contract for the A&E. That's not gonna be an easy task. So I asked the commission to really put emphasis on that. The second thing is, and it was brought up by Mr. Pozan, we really need to update the website. I think it's still got John Pink. I know that Casimiro is still listed on there as a VSO. I emailed, the only email I could get a copy of that I was able to get my hands on was the one that's listed for Mr. Menno. And I emailed asking for a copy of the agenda. Something as simple as that. Zero. So, you know, if we want the veterans community to be able to kind of dialogue, gotta make sure that the communications channels are open. Sir?
Could you share that web address?
The web
address?
Which
website? The website you're speaking of?
Well, here's one right here. It says website, GVAO. I just went on the internet and I typed in GVAO, and whatever it gave me, it was way outdated.
This is not a website.
I may have been looking at the wrong address.
It's just for us. This is your website, right? Okay.
Okay, duly noted, sir.
And the second thing is the commission aware that there's a public hearing on Tuesday for a resolution that Senator Talatidigui has introduced?
So is the
commission aware of that? And has the commission, and if it is, has anybody even looked at the resolution?
It's on today's paper. Oh, yes, today's paper.
The notice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Has anybody looked at that? Has at least the senator's office sent over to the
senator? Have been calling different organizations about the public hearing.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's 10 o'clock Tuesday.
So I sent out an email 2 days ago, I think, or the day before yesterday, yes, requesting the commission to support the resolution.
Correct.
10 o'clock on the first. Support or not support, whatever.
And I think that's a very good example, a good opportunity for the commission to really be the voice for the veterans community.
I apologize, Senator. I was going to bring that with my Jose asked me to bring it up during the my announcements and all that stuff. So I just didn't get a chance to get. I wanted to be the opportunity to talk first.
Do we have a copy of it?
In the email.
In the email.
In
the email. I forwarded to you the third one.
Okay, sir.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
It's open to the community?
Yes.
I have a comment, if I may.
Yes, sir.
Okay. My name is Eddie Regis. I'm a U.S. veteran. I just wanted to
go to the website.
Introduce myself.
Needs to be updated because it's Tim, but all the VSOs are current.
Just a couple of observations, and I'm also involved in other nonprofit organizations and an umbrella organization other nonprofits. So I'm the chair of the Pazuta Incorporated, and I'm also the chair of Planetary Freedom Center. We had the opportunity to meet with the White House initiative on Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders in July. And I had a chance to go out to an inaugural meeting in Washington, D.C. And we had the opportunity to get a briefing by the deputy director of the Office of Management and Budget in the White House. So they digitized a lot of the information when I asked, and I also approached Congressman Moynihan to also do the ask. Is there a way that we can mine the data, the DD-214s, or any kind of information that is associated with enlistment or discharge of the military, so that we can find out how many veterans are actually here? It's a daunting task, I think, for all of us to try and do it ourselves without a dedicated effort and funding to try and get that. But I think that's one of the asks that I think would help with the GAO report. The other observation I've had is
this thing on the resolution. You know, I got a chance to read the resolution, and I have, when I listened for the first time about the GAO report, I think there's an opportunity to make sure we have a consolidated approach to the letters of support that was suggested earlier, to have a unified approach going forward to legislature and the executive branch. It's going to be very important because I think some of the shortfalls I see in the actual legislation don't go far enough, but it doesn't give enough information to justify a request to establish a hub, a VA hub or a regional office. And what Senator Adda had suggested was that the Veterans Commission needs to really look at that and look at it hard because we should look at the timing as well because of the upcoming election. The efforts that we do now may be for nothing if there's a new administration coming in. So I think there's an opportunity between now and the end of the year to really strategize instead of trying to push something out. I'm very interested in the GAO report because I think that should be like the basis and the thrust of what Guam should submit and it be endorsed by the Veterans Commission because I think that's very important. So it brings up my observation in general is, and my thought is I've been involved in a task force recently just volunteering some of my time. You know, I think the task force has no mandate. They're not part of the commission. But I think the task force are a group of volunteers that want to help the commission and help push the agenda. We want to be the soldiers behind what the commission is trying to push forward and provide that additional resource. The commission, may be able to use us to try and get more information to support the objective but as far as what's in the GAO report. So that's kind of like my initial observation and my request. And I think that if there is interest as to what we're doing in the task force, which I'm not sure, like I said, what the formal mandate was to form the task force except for a bunch of volunteers. But I think we should not be moving forward without the guidance of what the commission's trying to achieve. We need to work together. And I think there's an opportunity for us to really push the agenda. And just by sitting in today's meeting, I just want to thank all of you for everything that you've done. And it's nice to hear. You know, we actually did a project for the Veterans Affairs Office. We actually did the website years ago. And we also did the registry for the cemetery a long time ago under my nonprofit organization. And what happened after the director left, it wasn't picked up by the other director as far as sustaining that. So, and what we did was we went into the VA office, we took all the records of everyone that was buried, we did all that research, we digitized it, but since we're out of the picture, I don't think it's been updated. So, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. Before we move on to discuss the CBOC, I'll go ahead and just discuss a little bit of GY. One of the key factors or one of the key things that we've been focused on, of course, is addressing the death by suicide amongst our veterans. The national average a couple years ago used to be 22 veterans a day. That number has dwindled down to about 17. And that's a lot. On a personal level, I think when I did my last count, guys that I served with in my unit, I think personally that I knew, maybe bunked with, deployed with, there was at least five of them that are very close. I was like a big brother to a lot of these young boys. And so we've been focused on that amongst other things. We're now in, like Senator Adda requested, right, we're in going into year number two of our grant for the Staff Sergeant Parker Fox grant. Staff Sergeant Parker Fox was was your typical Kula Ranger. On the outside, everything looked good. He asked him if he was okay. Roger, everything was good. Until it wasn't. So we've been addressing a lot of this. I believe the Jose and the previous board members did attend something we call Battle Buddy Talk. It's every Wednesday night up at Sun and Return tomorrow. Unless the weather's really bad, then we can host it at our in our conference room. We've recently moved into the office space where Department of Labor used to be at the Bell Tower. We're on the third floor. We're the only ones on the third floor. So we got a we were able to receive the grant for that Parker Fox grant, and some of the programs that we do again is it's allowing us to continue to do the Battle Buddy Talk on Wednesday nights. We have partnerships. We're establishing partnerships with Tribe Fitness. It's a veteran-owned small business that hosts fitness programs throughout the island. I believe there's five different locations. We were able to draw up the link between physical fitness and your emotions and all that stuff. So what we're looking at is veterans that do qualify for the program will be able to cover the their monthly fees to attend these programs. We have something called Team Tossy, which is hitting the ocean, going out to the beach. We have stand-up paddle boards. We have a team we're trying to put together for paddling. Similar to the Wounded Warrior Project, they have a competition every year in Hawaii, and that's your back down on Matapang Beach where they have the canoers and all that stuff. So again, it's about getting the veterans out of their comfort zone of being isolated, not talking. We've been working with a lot of veterans that are dealing with problems in court, Veterans Treatment Court, veterans that are dealing with substance abuse. We know of at least, I'll say, you know, we know of a handful of veterans that are attending our meetings that are now, at least one veteran is now like in month number 28 months of being sober. We have another veteran who's probably reaching close to 10 months of being sober. And this is not just, I'm not saying just beer, this is heavy drugs. And they continue to come and support. We have direct contacts with probation officers, parole officers, that no one understands what we do. If the veteran's going to be a little late, they contact us. We let them know, hey, your veteran's on his way home. So I know it's not an easy topic to talk about, but again, it was very personal. I think, you know, even Roland attests to having some close friends or family that where the demons want, so to speak. And I think every veteran is important. Some of the things that we've done too is also expand that so that there's a spouses group. We're there to help your veteran, but nobody's helping mom and or the kids learn how to cope. We've seen many stories where the spouse and the kids are walking on eggshells because the veteran could snap at any time. So we addressed the veteran, and then my wife was a spouse, also a veteran. Her and a bunch of other spouses get together and they help each other, just having somebody to be able to reach out to and so on and so forth. So this grant is going to allow us to be able to provide, to continue to provide more services to the community, working with Guam Behavior Health, Public Health. We continue to do outreach with the National Association of Social Workers and things like that. We will be, our office, you can visit us on the third floor anytime between 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Wednesdays will close a little bit early so that we can get prepared for the Battle Buddy Talk. Again, you know, I didn't realize how important it was just to get out and get involved with physical fitness and stuff like that, but just going to the beach sometimes, you know, really helps a lot of these veterans. And for a lot of us that had lost that camaraderie with our brothers and sisters in arms, it's almost like establishing a whole new platoon. Getting together, we learn about each other, different areas where we served, and so on and so forth. And it's not always about depression and that stuff. The last Wednesday is reserved for family nights. So the last Wednesday, what we do is, you've probably seen us every last Wednesday out by ITC or right out here in front of Paseo. We've got signs that's basically encouraging them to reach out. And what we do at the end, after we're done with that, is we do something called family night. And it's just potluck. We get together, bring the family, bring the kids, we break bread. This past Wednesday, what we did was we went down to Matapang Beach. We got a permit. We got some bright lights. We brought down the paddle boards, and you know, the family and the kids were able to just get out on the water and have a good time. So it's a good release. So
it's going to be on
large events, for us, we're going to be supporting also the Wounded Warrior ride shirt, the ride with the Guam Hogs and the VFW. And if it gets too hard or if it's raining too much, I'm going to link up with MOPH and join you at the hotel at Eden Horse. Okay, the discussion for CBOC was next on the list. Did anybody want to bring this up? Want to discuss?
CBOC is
not available. They're not available?
No.
Okay. Any, well, I think we've went through announcements already. I was looking at my calendar for the next meeting. I was looking at the 25th of October. Yes, sir.
I'd like to bring this up. You know, the commission is without the chairman since I don't know when. And I like to either make a motion so we can take care of this. You're acting chairman now, then we make the decision in the chairman and we vote for the vice chair. Because we cannot continue this every month, and the chairman is not here. I don't know why, but it's been so long already. You're the only one presiding the meeting. I think that we should take care of this issue. It was very, very important that we take a bit rather than continue month to month. You're sitting up there and the chair is not here. So I don't know whether a motion should be in order to take care of this maybe next month's meeting, have election, so we can move on.
I got a point of order for that. I think there's a provision for that in the bylaws.
Okay.
I think we should look at that and see.
So let's bring it up on the next meeting to address the issue.
That's what I'm saying. I'd like to make a motion for next meeting.
Okay.
Is he
communicated, I believe, with Chris?
Yeah, I did reach out because several of you guys have asked me about him. And his response was that, hey, I am in good health. Hey, he does not want to resign, but right now his wife is not in good health and he is taking care of her.
That's a reason why.
Well, I'd like to put it into motion if anybody can second that so we can move on.
Okay, the motion is to at least look at the discussion on the ones in the bylaws. Put it on the agenda for next meeting.
Sure.
Okay.
Second.
Okay.
Who seconded? Thank you.
Chris.
American Legion.
Any further discussion? Just we're putting it on the agenda. No discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? If not, then what I'm looking at is for the next meeting is the 25th of October. This meeting should have happened last month in September. So just to get back up to date, we'll try to shoot for the 25th of October, 1500. And we'll schedule for the same year. Members, I believe there is usually about 2 weeks before the meeting, questions go out about what needs to be added to the agenda other than what's already been discussed here. I think we can go ahead and just respond to those emails, and that way we get the advertising done right and on time. Okay, 25th. Any issues with the 25th of October? If not, do I get a motion to adjourn?
Move.
Big motion, Moro Ada, second, Lee Weber, motion to adjourn. Thank you very much, everybody. Hour and a half.